Welcome back to another episode of The Bench Report today. Here we're looking nice because Sid just had an interview at Chick-fil-A. We're going to talk a little bit about some free agency stuff that's been happening. And we're going to get this all brought to you by ourselves because we don't have any sponsors. Let's get into it. This is number one champion sound. Yeah, Estelle, we about to
get down. Who the hottest in the world right now? Just welcome back to The Bench Report. It is NFL free agency season. I know we try to not be a homer podcast, but we have to start with Russell Wilson.
Of all the big deals today, the $1.21 million deal that is the gravity in Sid's life right now, should we talk about?
Last night, I was on a call with my sister, just helping her out with some school things, and then I see the Russell Wilson news, and I was like, I gotta call you back. I need a second to process this. Okay, so here's where I've landed. So at first I started, I was like, no, why'd you do this? He's 35 years old, like, he's washed.
He hasn't been good since the Rams were in St. Louis.
Exactly. Then I was like, oh, wait, we only have to pay him $1.2 million? This is a steal. Then I was like, oh, wait, why would we sign him when there's, like, we could get a Justin Fields and, like, have a future? And then I was like, oh, wait, we just need a transition quarterback. And I think Russell Wilson is the greatest transition quarterback to be. And as soon as they make a Russell Wilson Pittsburgh Steelers jersey, because I did check last night, I will be buying it.
That'd be awfully quick.
Yeah, but also,
I think the Broncos are still paying him like $38 million.
Yeah, he's getting paid an insane amount of money from the Broncos. So like, this might be like the smartest deal the Steelers have like ever made like, in their history.
I do like it.
Especially if like we can make a deep run this year, which because his salary hit is so low, like, they get 2 to 3 more impact players. Like, I don't know. I think we got a scary team.
You got him with Arthur Smith at the helm now. What's happening?
Yeah. Him, Arthur Smith, George Pickens, Deontay Johnson.
Oh, my God.
Najee Harris and Jalen Warren as the dual-headed backs. Let's run it.
All right. Well, okay. So, $1 million quarterback. We also saw today Kirk Cousins go for $180 million for Kirk Cousins to the Atlanta Falcons. Kirk, first of all, I want to say Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. That boy is going to come out icy. That's what I got to say. Dude, Lil Baby's going to get him right.
Did you hear he got like a temporary golden grill in his teeth?
Temporary? What do you mean temporary?
Like he got a gold grill on his teeth and so like he could take some pictures.
Dude, Atlanta's going to change Kirk. I'm here for it. I think he could be their guy, honestly. Then there's also more quarterback news. We got Baker Mayfield staying with the Bucks. With a deal up to $115 million, again, for Baker Mayfield, which feels weird saying that this man, I mean, look, coming out of college, you see this dude throwing like 8 touchdowns against Texas Tech, anybody wouldn't doubt that he's going to be a $100 million quarterback in the NFL, but after the way his career has gone, I'm surprised to see it. What do you think of this? Do you think he's worth it?
I just like, what a story. Like, he started out in Cleveland. He won them a playoff game for the first time in 30 years.
Yeah.
And then he got cut or got traded. He got cut, right?
Yeah, I believe he was cut.
Yeah, he was cut because of Deshaun Watson, which has turned out great for the Browns, by the way.
To mention, if we're on a Homer podcast, the dude is a Rams legend.
I was getting there. You were at the game, Nico?
Oh, I was there.
Oh, you've never been to a Rams game before, I thought.
What do you mean?
I was making a joke.
All right.
But then he went to the Panthers, didn't really work out there, went to the Rams, played his way into a couple games. Then he ended up on the Bucks, and he's really turned it around. He won them a playoff game this year, and I don't know. I'm on the Baker hype train.
He does get it done. Last quarterback we have on our little list to talk about, Gardner Minshew to the Raiders. He's like, I mean, they just got rid of Jimmy G. They're just cycling through the, like, good-looking backups at this point. Minshew's made for Vegas. That's all I got to say. But we'll see how quickly he runs through $25 million in 2 years in Las Vegas. But what else is your big news of the day?
So there's been a lot of running back movement. DeAndre Swift, my goodness, to the Bears. The Bears are prepping for a big move, especially because they do have the combination of Justin Fields and the first round pick, and I think they're trying to build a contending team this year.
Really?
You don't think
they're gonna try and trade for more picks in the draft and go towards the future or rebuild a little bit?
Yeah, but I also think that if Caleb Williams comes out of the gate the way he was in college, he they could make the playoffs.
Is that your assumption that they're drafting Caleb Williams here?
I think they draft Caleb Williams here. They trade Justin Fields a couple weeks into the season when a quarterback gets injured, and they make a playoff run this year. I think they can maybe make a 7th or a 6th seed. But yeah, I think that's what they're getting ready for.
I disagree with you on the premise that they're gonna drop Fields immediately. I mean, it definitely could happen.
Well, not first, immediately. I think they wait a couple weeks into the regular season.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not get rid of him after you draft your new cornerstone franchise quarterback?
Because if you wait until quarterbacks start getting injured around the league, teams get desperate. And right now, Justin Fields' trade stock is starting to plummet. So you either trade him now or you trade him at like week 4 or 5.
I like that. My thought is, I'm not one for the switching out of quarterbacks so quickly. I feel like he deserves a shot. Like, he's had his flashes. He's also had some of the dumbest plays you'll ever see on a TikTok highlight reel, lowlight reel. But I feel like he's had enough moments to where he deserves to at least have some attempt to be built around first. Yeah. I think Marvin Harrison is the best wide receiver prospect to come out of college football in a decade, and the Bears would be missing out big to go quarterback here.
So you think they trade down?
Yeah, I think you trade down, really? And you get more picks.
Wow.
I'm always on the side of it. I mean, I'm a Rams fan, so I'm for trading picks. But when you have that much draft capital, why not make it more and just get your money's worth? But
that is a good point. And look how it worked out for them this year too.
Yeah.
But
can you picture that?
Like, yeah.
What would you think of Fields with Swift, Harrison, and Moore at the helm? Like, I think he's a more competent quarterback with a little bit of an arsenal around him.
100%. But I don't know. I feel like Caleb Williams is such a generational talent. Like, that's fair. Really can't do that.
Yeah. The other running back deal that went down, the other elephant in the room as we're recording this in New York, is Saquon Barkley, the Giants' premier player for the past 6 years, just snaked us and went to the Eagles, NFC East division rival. For 3 years, $37.75 million. I'm never a fan of interdivision trades. I'm still stung by like Samson Ebukam leaving the Rams and going to the Niners a couple years ago. The smallest things like that. But for Saquon to ditch the Giants and go to the Eagles, I feel like that says a lot. Those teams don't like each other.
I personally cannot wait for the game where the Eagles are playing in New York. Saquon's going to go off. He's going to have, like, 2 touchdowns, like, 150 yards, and just, it's going to be such a great day as a non-New York sports fan. I don't know. I feel like the interdivisional, like signings are so fun just to see, like...
You do get 2 games a year. Yeah. 2 revenge games a year, which
exactly.
is fun to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another running back move, you got Josh Jacobs to the Packers. For 4 years, $48 million. And then you also get Aaron Jones getting released. I don't see why they would have kept him, but the guy was productive. Like, the definition of production for the Packers for years now, and they just went and got a Vegas superstar. And $48 million is not too much if you're looking quarterback market, but the running back market is a different talk right now. So $12 million a year is quite some money for Jacobs. Do you think that's worth it?
I personally would not have moved on from Aaron Jones to Josh Jacobs. I feel like availability is your best ability, as every coach will ever tell you ever. Aaron Jones has been really consistently healthy. And Josh Jacobs, I had him on my fantasy team this year, and he was injured for, like, half the season. And I don't know. I think that Jordan Love is the real deal. I'll get that out there. I'll get my take out there. Jordan Love is the real deal. And honestly, I don't know if this move helps him very much.
Really? I have another small take for you. So the running back market, everybody knows, has crashed. Running backs' value due to the availability thing has become a bit of a hot topic. And recently there's been a sort of similar pattern with safeties where they've all been getting cut recently and not being paid enough. The Packers also just brought in Xavier McKinney from the Giants for $68 million over the same amount of time as Josh Jacobs. Do you think paying a safety like Xavier McKinney, very, very, very good safety, by the way, always consistent, $20 million more dollars than Josh Jacobs, where do you think the better value is there?
I personally, I don't know. I think that, like, having a solid safety, just being a Steelers fan and watching Troy Polamalu growing up and now watching Minkah Fitzpatrick, like, having, like, a safety, which is basically the equivalent of a quarterback on the defense, like, a solid safety is more important than a running back. But I do see why both positions are getting devalued, because there's, like, 100 people who can take that role, and they run out of steam so quick. And I hate to say it, but I don't know. I feel like spending that much money on a running back is kind of rough, because by the end of his contract, like, who knows where he'll be.
It's fair.
You know what I mean? And 4 years from now, like, he might not be able to play.
Yeah. Very good take. Should move down the list a bit. Let's see. We got Gabe Davis to the Jaguars. 3 years, $39 million. Devin Duvernay to the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Mac Jones to the Jaguars.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of fun. There's a picture circulating now of Mac wearing a Blake Bortles jersey. We'll clip that in there. But he is... The Patriots already moved on from him. He was the 15th pick of the 2020 draft. And he's already gone. This is what I mean by I don't really fully believe in giving up on quarterbacks too easily, but Mac Jones is a different case than Justin Fields, I believe. He hasn't really had that many flashes, per se. Now he'll just go get to learn behind another young quarterback who I don't know if he has that many years ahead to teach much, but I don't know. I feel like the Jags are just a melting pot at this point. Anybody that comes in is just going to retire before they're 30. But I don't know. Maybe they'll turn it around.
Well, Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones were both drafted in the same draft. I think 2021 was a horrible draft for quarterbacks. Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones are all not on their original teams. Who knows where Justin Fields will be in a month.
True.
The only quarterback who's semi-performed is Trevor Lawrence, who... We haven't seen much from him recently, but let's unpack that like one bit at a time. Mac Jones is a Florida native, played in Jacksonville in high school, but honestly, like, I feel like he'd be a really bad backup quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, he'd just be so spiteful and like...
He was trading time with Bailey Zappi, and apparently the locker room situation was as toxic as it gets, so I see that. But also, it's a slightly different situation when you're on the team that drafted you to be a cornerstone guy, and you end up getting benched, and there could be hard feelings. Which is slightly off topic, but which is why I hold some respect for Zach Wilson at this point.
Yeah.
Not just because he's a Cougar hunter, but because after he was drafted with the second overall pick, and then they brought in Aaron Rodgers to basically replace him. They had a whole series documenting everything that these people were doing, and Zach never held one bit of spite for Aaron. Instead, he took it as a learning opportunity. So we'll see if Mac can move on from a toxic environment to go and start something new in Jacksonville, but you never know.
Yeah, really quick, did you see on the Patriots, or the, I want to say the NFL post that Mac Jones got traded? Bailey Zappi, like, liked the post, and everyone was like, oh man, Bailey Zappi liked the post, but like... Poor Bailey Zappi doesn't know he's about to get his starting job taken by a rookie.
Oh.
But the Jaguars did bolster their receiver core a little bit with Gabe Davis and Devin Duvernay. I don't know. I feel like there's too many guys in that receiver core. And also, I'm going to be honest, I don't have the greatest trust in Trevor Lawrence as a quarterback.
Really?
Like, I feel like we haven't seen it consistently on a high level throughout a full year. And I'm one of those guys who, like, I need to see it to believe it.
I'm a fan. I feel like you talk about potential when somebody's still under 26. I feel like that's... If you turn 26 and you still... You're not talking about potential anymore. You got to pan out. You got to do something. But I feel like if you're still a young quarterback and you've shown enough flashes to where you could be the guy in the future, I'm down to try and... build around a guy and let him work for a bit, but I'm not so much there with Mac Jones. I think that the Patriots made the right decision moving on from him.
100%. And
but I do think that Trevor Lawrence is that guy.
So do you think it's safe to say that like this is the year that makes or breaks Trevor Lawrence? If the Jaguars go like 8-9 this year, like do you think that the Jaguars are going to keep him long term?
I feel like that's a different... I feel like that question depends on how Trevor Lawrence performs in contrast to the rest of his team.
That's fair.
Because they could go 8-9 and he could be the bright point and have three game-winning drives on that 8-9 resume.
Yeah. That's a good point. I just think that this year is where we get the definition of who Trevor Lawrence is.
Yeah, we will get to see. Couple more notes, actually. Well, first of all, I just want to mention Christian Wilkins out of Miami, going to Vegas as well. 4 years, $110 million. Mm-hmm. That's like, yeah, that's, he was, I mean, when was he drafted? Like, 2020s or no? 2019 maybe?
Pretty recently.
I feel like he was so recent, but you're not talking about potential anymore. He's got it. That's a $110 million deal right there. The other thing I wanted to mention was T. Higgins just requested a trade after being franchise tagged by the Bengals.
Really quick, back to the Raiders. Sorry, Nico. What is their goal? Are they tanking? Are they trying to build a team? Like, I don't know. I feel like they just, they got rid of Josh Jacobs. They signed Minshew and Christian Wilkins. And I don't know. I feel like they're stuck in that middle zone.
I think they're going to be in this middle zone and for 1 to 2 more years until they find a draft class with a quarterback that they're looking to build a team around. For now, I think they're trying to stock up on young talent where they can try and identify some sort of core roster that'll be with them for the next couple years and mm-hmm. look for the young guys that will be with them for a while. But they're not really, I don't think they're looking to win this year, but I wouldn't say they're tanking yet either, because I think their scope is longer than just tanking for whoever next year's quarterback class is.
Yeah, that's good. That's a great point. Okay, so now we're talking about the Bengals and T. Higgins.
Yeah. Would you not want to play for Joe Burrow?
I feel like T. Higgins is such a great job on the Bengals. Like, he's the wide receiver 2 to, like, Jamar Chase. Like, Jamar Chase is your wide receiver 1. Like, why would you not want to be there? That being said, as a Steelers fan, go for it. Get out of here.
There's also the bit that the Bengals are always criticized for lacking top-tier premier facilities and organizational, structurally, the team has its holes outside of having had the number one pick and getting to take Joe Burrow and now mm-hmm. have a slate of superstars on that roster. I mean, they got to a Super Bowl, didn't go well. Thank God, and or else I wouldn't be here right now as a Rams fan. But yeah, I don't know. I think T. Higgins sees a brighter future somewhere else where maybe he could be a wide receiver 1 and maybe get some more money than. But franchise tag is a lot of money. Because it's like the average of the top 5 highest players at that position. Yeah. So I don't think he's going to find that type of money somewhere else, but I think he's looking for a bigger role.
Can I give you a hot take?
Let's hear it.
I think the Bengals should try to trade T. Higgins for a high first-round pick and draft a young receiver. I think that right now in the AFC, there's so many quarterbacks and so many places that right now is such a hard time to win. I think that within the next 2 to 3 years, Andy Reid will be gone. Potentially Travis Kelce will be gone. And I think that the Chiefs as a contender are going to start to crumble. And I think that if a team is ready to go in 2 years, that they'll that will be the team that wins the Super Bowl in 2 years. I think right now there's so many weapons in so many places that if you are a contender in the AFC who is teetering between trying to build a team now and building a team 2 years from now, you build it 2 years from now.
That's fair. I don't have anything to say. I feel like that's pretty thorough. I don't disagree. I'm not going to say that you're completely right as a professional NFL analyst.
Yeah, I am a professional NFL analyst. Where are you getting on me? Schefter comes to me. You know that, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you all for tuning in to our free agency recap. It is also only 7:13 Eastern time on Monday, March 11th, so there will be a lot more to come, and we're looking forward to it. I'm hoping to see my Rams make a couple more moves, honestly.
Steelers.
I know. Well, we got a lot more salary cap than Steelers, and we just picked up Jonah Jackson, which I didn't mention as a trying to keep the home team bias out of here. But we'll get back to you later, and thanks for tuning in.
Yes, thank you. And now we will get to our interview with Patrick. Welcome to our very first in-person interview on the Bench Report. We have our friend, NYU wrestler, Patrick Brady. Patrick, welcome on the show. How do you feel being our first ever in-person guest?
I'm really excited. I'm really, really happy. This is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Let's get into it.
I have this question I've been waiting to ask any wrestler I've ever met. If aliens came and invaded Earth tomorrow, came up to you and asked what your sport is, how would you explain it?
How would I explain it? What do the aliens look like? Do they look like humans, like Hollywood depicted aliens?
Wow, I was not expecting the follow-up question.
You can see they're announcing it from like a megaphone.
Yeah, they're using their kinetic powers to
megaphone.
So I can't see them right now.
No. They're like threatening this from like a UFO.
They're on a live podcast with you.
Yeah,
they're asking.
Death beam pointed at the
how do we explain wrestling?
And wrestling has to appeal to them, and if it doesn't.
The world ends. How do you explain it to them?
Well, if they were human, if they looked like humans, it would be easier because then I could explain what they'll like.
They know what limbs are. They understand that part.
Yeah.
I mean, I would describe wrestling to them as like. Being able to take down your opponent is kind of being able to like take someone down is pretty helpful. Like the way you kind of explain wrestling in a good way to people is your ability to kind of beat someone up is kind of because everyone kind of looks at wrestling in not really a great light. So the way you kind of advertise it as being something good is, well, what do you do once you get into a fight? You'd want to know wrestling then.
There you go.
So, I mean, if these aliens are getting ready to fight, it would be more applicable if they had a human figure, but I would kind of explain to them as, like, you would want to know how to do this if some guy is trying to fight you.
Are you sending a threat to these aliens? Are you telling them that we know how to fight?
Don't mess with us?
We know how to fight if you have humanoid shapes.
But then again, would it really come to that? No, because they have good enough technology to then get over here and probably be settled with nukes.
Rather than
wrestling. But I guess,
I'm not going to lie, I did not expect that answer to go to those ends. But
it was scripted. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So we talked a little bit before. Wrestling, we talked about our shared struggles with patellar tendonitis.
Yes.
What about wrestling is so attractive to you that made you want to push through that and continue to wrestle in college?
So I guess I hurt my knee going into my senior year of high school. So I got, like you said, patellar tendonitis, which for those people who don't know, it's like your tendon that helps extend your leg. So basically when you squat or extend your leg, it's the tendon that's kind of doing most of that with your quad. So you kind of use your quads a lot in wrestling. You're on your knees a lot in wrestling. So to push through that, it was really something that for my senior year, I really wanted to kind of see the end of my wrestling, whether or not, you know, I do continue to wrestle in college or not. But, you know, I've been wrestling since I was 5. So, you know, your senior year is kind of pretty important. So I kind of wanted to see the culminate, like see everything culminate into, you know, why was I really doing this for 15 years? Why was I, you know, going to practice every day.
See it through.
Yeah.
Right?
And I had to see it through. Yeah. And the other option was, you know, not wrestle that season. So.
Yeah.
I had to see it through.
You're a Jersey boy coming to NYU. It's not too far from home. What was attractive about NYU that for like to wrestle? What brought you here? Unless it wasn't about wrestling, or what was how much did that play into the decision?
Wrestling went into it a little bit. Obviously, you know, I would like to say I was a pretty accomplished high school wrestler, but you know, I wasn't the Michael Jordan of high school wrestling. I wasn't, you know, amazing, but you know, I would say I was pretty well accomplished for New Jersey. and New Jersey's one of the best wrestling states. So, you know, D3 was an option where I could continue in college, where I could have the option, and, you know, it wasn't, you know, as demanding as someone that's kind of, you know, starting to get a lot more injuries and having a lot of more difficulty of staying healthy. And I could really kind of pick it up and kind of, you know, drop it when I felt like, you know, maybe it's time, academics are kind of coming up, and, you know, I really want to end that chapter. And it was kind of a way to have, you know, not as still in my life, but not as much in my life. And I could really decide what I wanted to, you know, kind of be away from that, because, you know, not going to be able to wrestle forever.
Exactly. But,
yeah.
I mean, so in a lot of the sports with the ball, they say, like, the ball's going to stop bouncing eventually, or rolling or whatever. Wrestling, you're not going to be able to wrestle forever, especially given injuries and over time. And it is a combat kind of sport. What are some things that you think you'll take away from these 15, 16, if you play, like, 19, wrestle for 19 years? What are, like, the values and things that you've taken away from this game that you'll take with you through the rest of your life?
I would say definitely, like, discipline. You have to have a different discipline to wrestle. You have to, it's hard. It's not really well respected in terms of, like, you know, when you get older, people respect it, like, oh, that's really hard. But socially, people aren't like, you know, oh, he wrestles, like, basketball. It's like, if you were an NBA player, it's like, oh, yeah, he's a fucking NBA player. Like, that's fucking awesome. No one's like, oh, like, I wrestle. They're not like, oh. Like, it's not like the same thing. So there's, you kind of have to, you know, when you're winning, it has to be for yourself. You kind of have to be doing it for yourself. You know, not really looking at other people to validate your success, because not a lot of people are doing that. So you kind of have to be comfortable with, you know, achieving your own goals when they're not really glorified, which a lot of people kind of, you know, set their sights on, you know, achieving certain things that have to be glorified. Like, a lot of kids, you know, want to be like LeBron, not because LeBron's good at basketball.
It's a global icon too.
Yeah. But what comes with being LeBron, like, so it's a little different.
For wrestling, people have John Cena to look up to make it at the Oscars. But I think there's a general understanding that wrestling is a really difficult, like, physical sport too. Is there anything that you can say to whatever audience we may have that might get them to appreciate what you do a little bit more?
I would say I would tell any athlete, you never know how good of shape you're in until you've tried to do a wrestling workout. And there are some athletes that'll be like, dude, like, I did this today, like, so, it was so hard. And I was like, dude, like that's every day. Like, that's, like, for wrestling, it's like putting yourself physically was really hard. Like, my senior year, I'm really into lifting also, because it kind of goes one with wrestling.
100%.
Yeah, I would have, like, a two-hour wrestling practice, and then I would lift for an hour and 30 minutes, like, every day.
Yeah. That's another takeaway. It's, like, good.
It's healthy. Physically hard.
Yeah.
So take us through, like, a typical, like, wrestling practice for you. Like, what does that look like?
So for me, my high school wasn't really that good at wrestling, so the culture wasn't really the same, but I'll take you through, like, a normal, like, what I would say, like, a normal wrestling practice is for, like, a club. I would say on an average day, you're going in, the coach probably, he's putting you through a warm-up. You do the warm-up, you know, you're doing some stance and motion, you're just getting, you're going around, and then you get a partner, you're light drilling, you're starting to get going. It's probably like the first 30 minutes of practice. And then off season, you know, they're showing technique for a little bit, and then, you know, you're wrestling live. But in a real season practice, you're drilling, it's fast paced drill, and you're just trying to get through, just reps, get through technique. The coach is shouting, this technique. You're going. And then you'll probably have a live section where, you know, after 30 to 40 minutes of, you know, just drilling, fast pace, you know, hard, probably going live for, you know, 20, 30 minutes. And that can really depend, like, you know, it really depends how they want to put you through that. Like 30-second goes, takedowns, take them down, let them up. Or like things like shark bait where you're in for 5 minutes and you're, you know, you have three guys rotating on you.
Jeez.
And then you switch and then you become one of the guys that's rotating on someone else.
They're rotating and are they like coming in, like you don't know which one's going to come in?
So like let's say this is one of them, like there's four guys, everyone has number one through four. Number one will go for 5 minutes. So then two will go with one for, let's say a minute. And then one will go with three for a minute. And one will go with four for a minute. So the other two guys are sitting down and they're resting as one is going with each guy over and over and over again.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So that's like something they'll do. And then you probably have some sort of conditioning, depending on what the coaches choose to do. Yeah.
Huh. So has a coach ever asked you guys to like arm wrestle or thumb wrestle before?
Arm wrestle or thumb wrestle.
Like, do they verse you in the other types of wrestling?
No, not really. The coaches will wrestle with you every once in a while, if they still can. So. The NYU coaches, though, except like the young assistants, can still wrestle.
So, like, when a coach wrestles against you, are you like trying as hard as you can to beat them, or are you trying as hard as you can not to hurt them?
It depends which coach you're wrestling.
Where's like the age cutoff?
Yeah, yeah, like at what point are you like, shit, I have to make sure I don't hurt this guy?
I mean, normally the coaches are pretty good and still can, like, beat the shit out of you, so...
Right, they're there for a reason, right?
Yeah, I mean, but...
I'm sure they had their
hand. At a certain age, I would say, like, 50s, you know, if I'm wrestling the guy, and I know, like, it's a little... Oh, I won't really, you know, try and go that hard just so he doesn't...
Throat. Yeah.
Yeah, it also depends how much I like the guy.
Yeah.
Have you had any like close calls before where you like thought you actually hurt a coach, but you just took a second to get up or something?
No, I don't know. I don't think I've ever hurt a coach.
Oh man,
I've had a few guys grab something and then they were fine. But...
Oh,
okay.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so we wanted to pivot a little bit, just because we are a professional sports podcast. Yeah. We know you're a big Giants fan.
Yeah,
big what Giants are your thoughts fan. On the Giants offseason moves so far?
I'm a big fan, except I guess I was really sad when Saquon left. That was really hard.
Too.
Yeah,
it's not just leaving.
Going to the Eagles. Oh my god, yeah. That was absurd. That was honestly. Terrible.
I know. They're looking into tampering on that right now, actually.
Yeah, that's hopefully they did freaking tamper, dude.
Yeah. They just gotta get penalized or something, get rid of their first round.
That's the most Giants thing for Saquon to come back playing New York and have like 250 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
Okay.
I will say though, the Brian Burns trade was good.
There you go,
yeah. Yeah, only a second round draft pick and a fifth round pick.
Horsecock Lock. Drew Lock, quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, who are you talking about? Man,
Drew Lock.
He sucks.
Yeah.
He sucks.
Yeah, what's with the Giants, like, just getting these, like tall, like, skinny white guys to play quarterback? They're all, like, the same mold.
Yeah, ask John Mara that.
Yeah.
he's, I don't know, my brother and I joke around every once in a while, we don't know the day the Giants will have a black quarterback, but
yeah, I don't know. Well, they seem to be giving up on Daniel Jones from what I've heard, but
yeah,
I don't know. It doesn't usually pan out. Paying
yeah, Daniel fun. Jones. He sucks. He doesn't push the ball down the field.
He can't move.
He's just throwing like slants and checkdowns.
Yeah. I'm curious. How high were you on the DeVito train when he was going up for a couple weeks?
When he was going, that was pretty dope. But at the same time, I knew he was messing up the draft pick.
Yeah,
His juice is gonna run out at some point.
He brought the culture, the New York Italian, like you saw his agent. The dude was like in the mafia, and he was just on the sidelines.
The Spano memes were pretty funny.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So there's our little pro football bit. To finish it up, I have a couple questions. It's gonna be like rapid fire things, and I want you to just go through and like give me your quick answer and. We'll just go from there. So, first of all, like, which words or phrases do you most overuse?
I would say like, but I feel like that's pretty usual. A lot of people do that nowadays. I try not to do that. I had an English teacher, though, that would, like, yell at me for saying like.
There you go.
Yeah. He's,
there you go.
Awesome's a good one. Yeah, I say boss. A lot, like, all right.
That's
boss.
Good.
Oh, I actually like that.
I say beast sometimes.
Beast is crazy.
Some wrestling.
Yeah, I was like, what's up, beast? And then this guy was like, beast? I was like, people don't say that.
Okay. Next, what's your theme song?
Theme song. I feel like a lot of people put pressure on, like, a theme song, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on this. Because like if you pick this theme song, then, like, this is what's going to stick with you for the rest of your life.
Oh, like a walkout song?
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Oh, yeah, same thing. Yeah, same vibe.
What would be something really cool to walk out to? I always thought there was this one wrestler, Spencer Lee, who would walk out to the Pokemon theme song for the NCAA Finals. I always thought that was the funniest thing.
That is dope. That is awesome.
That's unreal.
Yeah, he was like a 3-time NCAA champion.
Wow.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't steal his flow. What would yours be?
Just give a song. Fine.
Is it Interdimensional? I like the Pokemon.
I would say like Poker Face, like Lady Gaga and the gym fan.
That's perfect.
Dude, that's fire.
Okay. What sport, other than wrestling, would you play if the aliens with the death beam told you got to do something else?
And I was like, good?
Yeah, like what would you enjoy? What would you be good at? Okay. What other sport would you have to pivot to?
Football. I used to love to play football.
Yeah.
My dad would never let me because I wasn't big enough. Because I didn't really put on a lot of muscle until like late in high school. So I was never really big enough to play football. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wish I played football.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a twig and I played center. So
You played center?
I played center, yeah. Yeah, let me just Pop Warner and... But,
okay, well, that's okay.
Yeah, okay. What sport would you be the worst at?
Hockey. I can't skate, so...
There you go.
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty rough.
I don't know how this works for wrestling, but when you win, like, the
WWE, Sanfernando All like, Valley Tournament, like in Karate Kid, and they come up to you in a post-game interview and say, who do you dedicate this win to? Who are you thanking first?
Who am I thanking first? I guess I would say a lot of people thank their coaches first.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, I would like to thank my coaches.
Shout out
my family.
PT.
Yeah, I was about to say, your mom's not the first one during Women's History Month?
No.
Well, your physical therapist has been with you since day zero.
Yeah. I would probably go to coaches.
There you go.
Wow.
Some mentors, role models.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say coaches. Like, coaches have been more impactful in sports.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I think that goes for any sport, any athlete. The coaches are the centerpiece for, like, building these young men. But,
yeah.
I think that's a wrap. But yeah, Patrick, thank you so much for joining us on the Bench Report podcast. This was our first in-person interview with local NYU wrestler.
And yeah, we'll kick it back to ourselves with an Oscar recap.
Yeah. All right, we're back. Thanks for a great interview, Patrick. Before we go, really quick, let's touch on the Oscars. There was a lot of things that happened, a lot of winners, but I think the biggest things are RDJ and Christopher Nolan won their first Oscars. Ryan Gosling, just he's now my favorite actor after last night. And I think the part that you're looking most forward to, would you like to talk about it?
Yeah, this isn't sports. I'm gonna try and relate it to sports. I mean, everybody loves seeing like a good like. Never mind. First of all, John Cena, former wrestler, came out butt naked presenting a costume award. So the sports moment we were going to relate this to was Chris Jones's 40-yard dash at the NFL Combine. Except they like traded which parts of their bodies they show. But anyway,
I don't know. I think that was an all-time Oscar moment. But yeah, that's the Oscars. I think Oppenheimer was definitely deserving of Best Picture. And yeah, there's our 30-second non-sports bit. Also,
I begged for this.
I did beg for this. I have to talk about the Oscars at least once.
Mm-hmm. He's the film major. I'm the sports manager.
Really quick. Vanessa Hudgens, this is a direct call to you.
She'll see this.
When did you get pregnant? Who is the dad? And why was it not me? Okay, moving on.
You move on.
I'll move on. Really quick before we go, as we were finishing taping our first segment, Austin Eckler signed with the Commanders.
Yeah, as of 7:18 p.m. Eastern time. So free agency keeps happening every minute while we're recording this on my iPhone, and I keep getting notifications.
Yes.
So keep up to date, and keep in mind that all my tapes were now currently updated.
Yes.
Enjoy.
So basically, there's no point.
Oh, yeah. Well, enjoy, and we will see you on the next one.